Good to be here. Amen. When I got to thinking about the message for today, I know the time of season it is, the year, and it's really easy to just go to a default and say, well, I'm going to preach about the cross, or preach about Easter, I'm going to preach about this or that. But God kept bringing this to my mind and kept bringing this one thing to my mind, and it was one of those things where you want to argue with him, but you don't. You just let God have his way. I've got into those arguments before, and I never win, so I've learned to give up. But if you have your Bibles with you, you can turn to Matthew chapter 16. We're going to start there. We're going to be all over the scriptures. If you've ever heard me preach, you know that I don't just stay in one section. I'm bouncing everywhere, and that's just the way my brain works. It doesn't work normally sometimes. But in Matthew 16, I'm going to read just a few verses and then we'll get into the word. Starting at verse 13. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I am, the Son of Man am?" So they said, some said John the Baptist, and some Elijah, and some others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." Lord, we ask that you add blessing to the reading of your word. And now as we've gathered here today to hear from you, Father, we pray for the anointing of the Holy Spirit to fall upon the words of this message. Father, that they become your words, words of life and encouragement, words of authority, words of power, words of instruction or rebuke. Lord, you know what we needed before we even got here. So, Father, let these words become that. And as always, Lord, I pray, don't let me get in the way. In Jesus' name. Amen. This passage shows an encounter that the disciples had with Jesus, and it was something they weren't expecting. I mean, think about it. They've been walking with him, they've been going along with him, and they've been doing things with him for a little while, and now he nails it down on them. And he asks the question, "Who do men say that I am?" And they bounced around, and then he finally nailed it down even tighter. He said, "All right, enough of that. Who do you say that I am?" It was an encounter with Jesus, the Messiah. That question has been posed throughout the centuries since. And I'm sure that that question may have been posed to you in one more way or another, one form or another. Who do you say that he is? And we're going to be looking at that in the Word of God today. But before we get too deep into it, I want to read one passage of Scripture out of the book of Revelation that kind of nails down who he is. In Revelation 5, verse 5, it says this, "But one of the elders said to me, 'Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals.'" The Lion of the tribe of Judah, that's a name that is given to Jesus, a name that a lot of us have heard, some of us may never have heard, but he is the Lion of Judah. Judah was the tribe that led the way. Judah was the tribe that took people, led the way out of the wilderness, or through the wilderness, out of Egypt. And Judah was the one who would go first. Their name means praise, or he shall be praised. And you can trace the lineage. You can look in the book of Matthew and the book of Luke, and you can see things where it shows the lineage leading up to Jesus through the tribe of Judah. Enough history. We're going to get into the Word now, and we're going to see what we know about Jesus. The first thing I want to talk about is that he is not a paper lion. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah, but he's not a paper lion. In the mid-60s, there's a guy named George Plimpton. I don't know if you've ever heard of George Plimpton or not, but he was a writer, he was an author, and he wrote a book titled The Paper Lion. And the reason that he wrote that book is because in the mid-60s, George decided at the age of 36 years old that he was going to try out for the Detroit Lions. He was going to be their quarterback at 36 years old. Okay. He stuck with the club. I mean, he went through the training. He went through all their training and all that, and even stuck with them long enough to play in an inter-squad game before paying public. And then he was cut. You see, the reason he wrote that book, A Paper Lion, was that he knew that he was only a lion on paper. He wasn't really a Detroit Lion. Well, the problem is, I think a lot of times that people today in churches, especially across America, we know the paper lion. We know the Jesus from the Bible. We know the little Bible stories about Jesus. We know sweet baby Jesus in the manger. And we talk about how Jesus came and he was born and he was put in that manger. And we know that story pretty good. We may even know the walk on water story about Jesus. And we've read it time after time. We've heard people talk about it time after time. And that's all that we've done. We know the fishers of men, Jesus, where he comes along and says, come follow me and I'll make you fishers of men, but we never follow. We never go out and fish for men. We know Jesus on the cross. We know Jesus in the tomb. We know the risen Jesus. We've read the stories time after time after time. We've heard it. Now, don't get me wrong. It's good that we've read those stories. It's good that we've read those accounts of Scripture. And it's good that they're in our mind and in our heart. But we got to go beyond that. We know the songs. We know the Jesus loves the little children. And that's good that he does. He loves each and every one of us, as it was said just a little while ago. He is madly in love with us. Man, when I saw that in that song, that was just, and then it was repeated in the prayer. It's like, yes, that's who he is. We know the way in the manger, and we might even know the song, He Arose. But that's as deep as we go with it. And the thing is, some that know these things might even be saved, but they're missing out on the power that is there in knowing the Lion of the tribe of Judah. They miss out. We know the Jesus of the Bible, and that's all we have. But it's not enough. He wants that personal relationship with each and every one of us. In Matthew 7:23, we read these words. It says, I will profess to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who that work iniquity. I want you to look at who he's talking to when he says this. The verse right above that, 7:22, it says this. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have not cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. He's talking to professing Christians. He's talking to people who maybe went to church and maybe preached. Maybe he's talking to some preachers that are standing in pulpits today that are saying, hey, didn't I preach in your name? Didn't I tell people all about you? And he says, but I never knew you. And the reason that he didn't know us is because all we knew was the paper lion. All we knew was the Jesus that we've read about, the Jesus that we've heard about, but we've never truly encountered. And he says, depart from me. Depart from me. That has to be the saddest thing that someone will ever hear. That the God who knows everything, the God who knows each and every one of us by name, will one day say to some, I never knew you. Never knew you. Sad to say, there's a lot of folks sitting in churches today. They're going to hear those words. Because he never got to know you. All you want to do is go deep enough to hear about it, but never really experience it. He's not a paper lion. Then we have the Jesus that everybody wants. He's not a tame lion. The tame lion that does all kinds of tricks for us. I remember a few years ago we had a circus come to town. Any of y'all go to that? I did, because it was the business association that was putting it on, and I was the president at the time, which meant I probably should have been there. Why they had a preacher as the president of the business association, I have no clue, but they did. So I went, and they bring this lion out. And this lion, I mean, he's huge. But he looks like he's on drugs. He just walks around in that cage like nothing going on. And I'm thinking, this is the king of the beast. This is a lion that's there. And this dude is out there in the cage with him, pushing on him, shoving on him, and all this stuff. I said, yeah, do that in the jungle, buddy. That ain't going to happen. But that tame lion would jump through hoops. That tame lion would do all kinds of things for that trainer. And I think that's the lion that we want. That's the lion that many of us want to know, is the lion that's going to do tricks for us. The lion that's going to do the things that we want him to do. Satan wanted that tame lion. See, in Matthew, the 4th chapter, verses 5 and 6, it says, the devil took him up into the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it's written, he shall give his angels charge over you. And in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Satan wanted Jesus to do a trick. He wanted him to say, if that's who you really are, you're going to do this. Now Jesus could have stood on the pinnacle of that temple, and he could have took a swan dive, did 3 half flips and gainers and whatever they do, and a couple twists, and landed on his feet and went, ta-da, and got scored a 10. But Jesus said, no. I'm not here to do tricks. I'm not here because I want to do the tricks that you want done. I'm here to seek and to save those who are lost. That's who he came for. He didn't come to do tricks. A lot of people wanted those tricks, so Herod wanted him to do that. He wanted to know this tamed lion. In Luke 23, verse 8, it says, now Herod saw Jesus, and he was exceedingly glad, for he had desired for a long time to see him, because he had heard many things about him, and he hoped to see some miracle done by him. Herod wanted to see a trick. And I think that's what happens in churches today. We want to see that tame lion. We want to see the one who's going to be doing tricks for us, who's going to do something miraculous. Don't get me wrong, miracles are cool. But if that's all we're here for, to see the tame lion that we have control of, that we have on a leash, that we have that whip and that chair and we're making them jump through hoops, that's the wrong lion that we're looking for. The multitudes wanted it through his ministry. In John 6:30, it says, they asked him, what sign then will you give us that we may see and believe you? What will you do? Do we need to see the signs and the wonders? Do we need to see all that to believe? That's what they wanted. And we do that today. We flock to faith healers. And don't get me wrong, I believe that God is able to heal no matter what. If I didn't believe it, I wouldn't have y'all pray for me. I mean, that'd be just stupid. That'd be a waste of air, is all that would be. I believe that God heals. He could heal you today if you got something going on. Don't get me wrong on that. But if all you're going to do is go to see if you can get this trick done for you, and that's all you want, you're missing out. They want the show without paying admission. And when the show doesn't come, you see in that 6th chapter of the book of John, Jesus gets real with the people. And he starts telling them, all right, there's going to be a price that has to be paid. If you're going to follow me, there's a price that's going to be paid. And then the 6th chapter, the 66th verse, and I always find that very interesting, the way they got that numbered. It says that from that day on, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. When it got real, when it got tough, when Jesus said there's going to be a price that has to be paid, they say, ain't worth it. And they walked away. They wanted the tame lion. They wanted the one who was going to do the tricks for them. The ones that was going to feed them fish and some bread. They wanted the one who was going to make the lame walk. Don't get me wrong, I want that Jesus. But they didn't want to go any further. They didn't want to have the suffering. They didn't want to have to go through what he was going to go through. And they walked away. And it's sad to say, in churches across America today, when the tamed lion doesn't show up, when the tame lion doesn't show up, people walk away. Back in 1988, there was a book that came out. And I don't know, some of you weren't even born yet. But the title of the book was 88 Reasons Why Jesus is Coming Back in 1988. Boom. Powerful. And the guy had a lot of good points in this book. Except for the one where Jesus told him, no one knows the day or the hour. He had it all down. He even had the week. And that's what he would say. Well, I'm not narrowing it down to a day. I'm saying it's this week. It was in September of 1988. Churches were filling up. People were coming to church. People that I worked with in a factory that I never expected to ever see in a church were in a church. Because Jesus was coming back and they didn't want to miss out on that. Well, he didn't come back in 1988. The author of the book said, oh, I forgot. I missed out on this one fact. It's 1989. Well, he didn't come back in 89 either. At least I hope he didn't. Because we're still here. Anyway. It wasn't long after that, folks started emptying the churches. They stopped going. Because the tame lion didn't show up to do the trick. After 9/11, people started showing up. They figured Jesus was going to take care of everything. And then things went back to normal and people left. What's going to be the next thing that's going to bring people in to see the tricks? I had a discussion with a pastor friend of mine from Pennsylvania. It's an interesting story. He and I were both in the military police together. And if you had asked us back then, or told us back then that we were both going to be preachers, we probably would have laughed at you and probably cussed you out. And then went and had he and I made a little moonshine together sometimes. But now we're both preachers. Praise God. God does have a sense of humor. Anyway, we had a discussion about all the gimmicks that people use. All the gimmicks that people want to do in the church to get people to come in. And he said, what happened to just preaching the word? Just preach the word. And then follow it. That's all it takes. People are looking for that tamed lion. When he doesn't show up, they leave. Here's the thing. The Lion of Judah is not a tamed lion. Several years ago, a movie came out, The Chronicles of Narnia. I don't know if y'all saw that or not. But the lion in it, Aslan, was a representation of Jesus. In one part of the movie, towards the end, they show the lion walking down the beach away from everybody. And the question is asked, is he ever coming back? And the answer to that was, I don't know. He's not a tamed lion. When I saw that, I looked at Kelly. We were sitting in the theater together. I looked at her and said, that will preach. Obviously. That will preach. That he is not a tamed lion. Those who encounter him personally and intimately will discover that he is not a tamed lion. The experience is more than we could ever describe. We can try to put it in words. We can try to tell people what it's like when we encounter that lion that is not a tamed lion, that lion of the tribe of Judah, who is Jesus Christ. When we encounter him, the writer of 1 Corinthians wrote these words, trying to explain it a little bit. He says, but it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. In Ephesians, we read these words in 3:20. It says, now in him, or to him, who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Experiencing him, we find the one who can do more than we could ever think or ask. We experience the one who can move in our lives and change things in our lives, that can take an MP and make him a preacher, that can take a biker and make him a preacher, that can take somebody and make them whatever, but make them a child of God. He can change a life completely, and we can't even understand how that happens. We just know that it does. I know a question was asked this week on Facebook from another pastor friend of mine about the spiritual growth and spiritual maturity. And I put in there, I'm not where I long to be, but I thank God I'm not where I was. I know what the lion of the tribe of Judah has done for me. I know what he did for me. I know the change that has taken place in my life. And I know I can't explain it, but I know it's there. I wasn't always such a nice guy. When I came on a scene, people didn't feel the presence of God a lot of times. But I know, thank God, they do now. Woo. They're going to experience God in the fullness of who he is. They're going to experience the power of the Holy Ghost in their life when they encounter a lion of the tribe of Judah that's not the tame lion. They're going to experience things that just cannot be explained. When they run into the one and meet the one who is so diverse, he says that I am meek. Yet he's the same one that went into the temple one day and made a whip and chased people out and turned tables over. And that's one of the things I love. I saw this on Facebook. Now, Facebook theology is kind of messed up sometimes, but this was good. And it said, when people ask you, what would Jesus do? You can remind them that making a whip and turning over tables is not out of the question. It can be done. Most times, he loved people. But that day, he was the lion. That day, he was the one who came to clean house. He cleared the temple. And I believe I saw something in a song today about us being that temple. And maybe one day he needs to bring a whip in and clean us up sometimes. There are things that go on in our life that we know shouldn't be there. And he gets that whip made up and he starts turning over tables again. And our lives may feel like they got flipped upside down. But then we realize that he did it so that we could be who we were supposed to be. He is the lion of the tribe of Judah. Now, we got an enemy, it says in the Bible. It talks about an enemy we have. Satan says he walks around like a roaring lion. He ain't no lion. He's a liar, and that's for sure. And the only power that he has, and the only thing that he has is a lie. And then convincing you that that lie is the truth, and you start following that. You start listening to what he's saying instead of what God is saying. where God says, I've got this under control. I've got this in my hand. We listen to the devil say, oh, it's all out of control. You're not going to survive this procedure. You're not going to survive this. Whatever's going on in your life, nothing's going to be good out of this. And Jesus said, no, don't listen to him. Listen to me, because I came to give you life. The enemy's come, it says, to steal from us, to kill us, and to destroy us in John 10:10. But Jesus says, I came to give you life. And not just life, more abundant life. More abundant life. I know I've used this illustration, if you want to call it that, probably 100 times. But when I think of life and abundant life, you ever been to Six Flags? They got that little train that goes around the park. Pretty cool little ride. Get you from one side to the other without walking. I'm probably, if I go to Six Flags from now on, I'll probably have to walk because the doctor will tell me I have to walk. But that little ride, it's pretty cool. And there's a few little thrills on it. You get to one point and it stops and train robbers get on. And it just, you know, a little excitement going on. Well, that's life. Just life, going through the motions, just living and dying. That's all it is. There's just a little bit of bump every now and then. But Jesus said, I didn't come to give you just life. I came to give you abundant life. Now, the abundant life, to me, is the Batman roller coaster. I love that ride. I love that ride. And there's a sign when you go in there. I've seen it 100 times. I know every time I go to ride it, I see the sign. If you got a heart condition, you shouldn't ride this thing. When I go to Six Flags, I'm going to act like I can't read. Because I love that ride. And the reason I love it is because it takes you up this hill, and then you come down and you go through flips and turns and twists and all kinds of things, and your heart is just pounding 100 times a minute, and you're just going through it, and it's the adrenaline rush is there. I love that. It's probably why I'm a firefighter. I love the adrenaline. Kind of hooked on it. Hi, I'm Jim. I'm an adrenaline junkie. That's what the abundant life is. When you encounter the lion of the tribe of Judah, not the tame one, not the paper one, but the lion of the tribe of Judah, you get that abundant life, that rush that's there, the flips and the turns and all that thing. It's not going to be a smooth ride. It's going to be bumpy a lot of times. And there's going to be a lot of times that you're going to think, how am I ever going to survive this? And one day you do. You go coasting into the station. And there he is to meet you. So I got you through it, didn't I? They're going to experience that. They're going to experience the Alpha and the Omega. They're going to experience the Prince of Peace. They're going to experience the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, our Provider and our Deliverer and our Fortress, our Shield. The Great I Am is who you're going to experience when you meet the Lion of the Tribe of Judah and grab hold of him. And we're going to find out he is not a tame lion. And this is the one that we're to take to the world. This is the one that we're supposed to tell the world about. Not the other stuff. Not the tricks. Not just what's on paper. But the experience. In John 12, it says this. And if I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself. Is this who we're lifting up to the world today? Are we lifting up the Lion of the Tribe of Judah? Because in Acts 4:12 it says there's no other name. There is salvation in no one else, for there's no other name under heaven given among men which we might be saved or must be saved. That's who we lift up. The Lion of the Tribe of Judah. Or are we simply lifting up doctrine or dogma? Are we lifting up our building or our finances? Look at us. Look how great we are. We're lifting up the pastor to the world. So, oh, you need to come to church. We got a great preacher. Tim is a great preacher. I watch his services. I get notes. Yeah, preachers cheat sometimes. But if they say something cool, I write it down. Sometimes when I hear someone preach, I hear something cool and I don't hear another word after that because I'm writing sermon notes. But if all we're doing is lifting up Pastor Tim, or if all we're doing is lifting up Jim Giffen, we're lifting up the wrong thing. John the Baptist said it this way, that I have to decrease so that he may increase. Don't worry about me. You don't need to know me. You need to know him. Because it's only then, when he is lifted up, that he's going to draw all men to him. It's only then where we're going to see souls saved. It's only then that we're going to see chains broken. It's only then that we're going to see people being delivered. When he's lifted up, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. We're going to close this thing out. Musicians want to start making their way up. So what lion do you know today? Who do you say that he is? If it's just the one on paper, you need more. And if it's the one that you expect to do tricks for you all the time, you definitely need more. You're looking at the wrong lion. If it's the true Lion of Judah, Jesus Christ, the Lord, that you desire, he'll come make you alive more than you could ever imagine today. He'll do things that his word says he'll do. He'll be your God and you'll be his people. But you have to be willing to pay the price of admission. Now, I know salvation is free. It's already paid for. It's bought. But if you want to experience a lion of the tribe of Judah, you got to go beyond. Give your life to him. Say, wherever, whatever, Lord, I'm yours. We have to be willing to surrender and then follow him. Lord, we thank you for this word. As we sing this song, Lord, if there's any here today that need to meet the Lion of the tribe of Judah, they want to go that one step further, let this be the day, Lord. The elders will come and pray. And Lord, I thank you for that. In Jesus' name.